Hello, and welcome to this episode of The Financial Translator, where we discuss financial topics in layman's terms to move you from confusion to confidence on a given topic. I am your host, Kirk Kreckmeyer, the Principal Advisor at Pebble Valley Wealth Management. We are a fee-only financial advisory firm helping our clients make informed decisions on their road toward financial security. You can find more information at pvwealthmgt.com. On today's show, I'm going to discuss actions you can still potentially take to impact the 2021 tax return. And I'm also going to mention some strategies that are too late for 21, but you can start doing now for 2022. I'm going to achieve this by breaking the podcast down into three sections. I'm going to provide a brief reminder on the deductibility of some of these contributions and how that impacts your taxes. I'm going to mention the three main accounts where action can still be taken for the 21 tax year, and then briefly mention some of those other strategies that are too late for 21, but you can begin doing for 2022 that we're now in. It may be helpful to reference my mid-March blog post on this topic, which has a helpful summary table and some links to the IRS. As a brief legal disclaimer, my discussions here should not be construed as financial advice or, in today's topic, accounting advice, and each person's situation is unique. All right, let's go. So the first section is a reminder on the deductibility of different account types and how that impacts your taxes. You may recall from episode 3 podcast back or my mid-February blog post where I provided a base understanding of taxes, including marginal tax rates and some key lines on your tax form 1040. The key highlights that will help clarify today's podcast. One, most taxes that you're going to pay are likely from ordinary income, which is predominantly made up of wages or retirement income. The ordinary income tax rate that applies is based upon your income level and tax filing status. Most people will file either a single or a married filing jointly tax return. There are some accounts, like 401ks and IRAs, that allow a deduction to income if you contribute to them, provided that you qualify. And that is done before taxes are applied. So that's what it means by having a deductible contribution. Other accounts, like a Roth IRA, will not give you a deduction, so therefore it doesn't help your tax return for a given year, but all that future investment growth comes out tax-free. So that's also a nice thing to take advantage of if you can. So again, the key for today's discussion to think about is first, find out what tax rate applies to your next dollar of income you would earn. That's called a marginal tax rate. And then see if you are eligible for some of these account types that I'm about to mention and see if it makes sense to contribute. Second section of this podcast, I'm now going to mention those three main account types that you still can take action on for the 2021 tax year. The first account type is the individual retirement account, or an IRA. There are both Roth and traditional IRA accounts. They're very similar to 401ks, but they do have different eligibility requirements and contribution limits. And most important for today's discussion, you can still contribute to an IRA for the 2021 tax year, but you cannot on the employee side for the 401ks. Another important clarification is that you can contribute to both 401ks and IRAs, provided that you have the taxable income to cover both contributions. So just because you contributed to a 401k, maybe you even maxed it out to a 401k in 21, you can still contribute to an IRA if you meet these eligibility requirements. If you missed my podcast episode number 4, you can go back and listen to it. I give an overview of different considerations for a Roth versus a traditional. I'll touch upon a few today, but I do a deeper dive in that podcast. For these IRAs that we're talking about today, you can contribute up to $6,000 if you're under age 50, or $7,000 if 50 or older. Now, whether you can contribute to a Roth, or everybody can contribute to a traditional, but whether you can get a deduction does depend upon your filing status and income levels and whether you have a 401k plan at work. It gets a little complicated, so I'll refer you to a summary table I have in my blog post from mid-March here, but I'll mention a few of the main ones to give you an example. And I'm going to assume that everybody has a 401k plan at work in my examples here. First thing I want to clarify when you see that table in my blog post is the incomes that are listed is actually something called modified adjusted gross income. It's a bunch of accounting speak, but the main point is it's not your gross wages. Broadly speaking, and again, refer to the details with your accountant or your tax software, but broadly speaking, think of it as your gross wages reduced by any traditional 401k contributions you would have made or HSA contributions and medical insurance deductions from your payroll. So it's your gross wages less those deductions that you were able to take from your payroll through the year. It is important to note that this number that is listed, this modified adjusted gross income, is before standard or itemized deductions, though. So it is going to be a bit higher than your taxable income. So again, this is a brief guide. Again, refer you to the table for all the details. A single filer who has a modified adjusted gross income below $66,000 can still contribute and deduct a traditional IRA contribution. If their income, if their modified adjusted gross income is above that amount, but it's below $125,000, they can still contribute to a Roth. And those same numbers, if you're married filing jointly, if it's below $105,000, you can take a deduction on a traditional. And if it's below $198,000, you can contribute directly to a Roth. If you are barely over those lower limits, the $66,000 and the $105,000, you still can contribute, and then also the Roth as well, I guess, the $125,000 and $198,000. You can still take action on those accounts, but just know that those amounts start to be limited after about $10,000 or $15,000. So take a look at the table, but just be aware of those, the grading scale that you've got just above that point. So broadly speaking, you know, if you are in the 12% or lower tax bracket, that means taxable income below $40,000 for a single or $81,000 for married filing jointly, more than likely it's going to make sense to do the Roth IRA contribution. If you are in the 22% or higher marginal bracket and your modified adjusted gross income is low enough to claim the deduction, it might make sense to contribute to a traditional IRA and, again, having that impact your 21 taxes. And then finally, if you are income is too high to get a deduction for the traditional but low enough for the Roth, it's not going to help your tax bill, but go ahead and do it if you have the savings, providing a nice groundwork for your tax-free growth in the future. And don't forget about spousal IRAs. If you have a married couple with a single earner, you can rely upon your spouse's income and still open up an IRA in your own name. The deductibility limits in that table, for the modified adjusted gross income, are quite a bit higher for a spouse who does not have a 401k plan at work. So take a look at that. I encourage you to open up spousal IRAs. If you are above those income limits and you don't have any IRA open, consider a backdoor Roth. Be careful with the details, but that's another great opportunity to take advantage of that. So I'm going to talk about three examples here briefly to give you an idea of a person who wants to take action for 21 and how much money we're talking about here. My first example, it's going to be Mike. He's a single filer making $75,000 of gross wages and assume he contributes $10,000 to a traditional 401k back in 21. So Mike's MAGI is going to be $65,000. He does qualify to take a deduction, so he can contribute $6,000 now to a traditional IRA, count it for the 21 tax year, and given those income that he's at and assuming a 5% state income tax rate, he's going to save $1,620 in taxes. So he's going to lower his tax bill by $1,620 if he takes that action. My second example is going to be Becky. She's a single filer. Let's assume she's making $140,000 gross. She contributed $15,000 to a traditional. So she is not able to take the deduction on a traditional given the income here in that table, but she is eligible to contribute directly to a Roth. So no tax savings, but she's able to get some money into that Roth IRA. And then finally, let's use a married filing jointly example. Let's call them Radar and Susie. Let's assume Radar stays home to protect the house. That's an inside joke, so email me if you want to hear the story. But anyway, so let's assume that Radar does not have any wage income, but Susie does. Let's assume Susie makes $220,000. Maxes out her 401k at $26,000. Let's assume she's over age 50. And her AGI or their AGI then would be $194,000 going through the math. So Susie cannot deduct from a traditional contribution, but she's low enough for the Roth. So she should do the $7,000 because she's over age 50 to a Roth. Radar also realizes that he does not have a 401k plan at work because he's home watching the house here. So he can do a $7,000 to a traditional IRA and get that deduction. So in this example, married couple, Susie is able to get money into a Roth without any deduction, but Radar is able to contribute to a traditional and lower their tax bill by $2,030. That amount is a bit higher than Mike in my previous example because they're at $7,000 versus $6,000 and a slightly higher marginal tax rate. So again, examples where taking action now, those are some serious dollars you can save still having time for the 2021 tax year. The second major account type that you can still take action on is a health savings account or an HSA. These are very similar in name to a flexible spending account that you might have at work, but they are very different. It's true, they both get a deduction going in and money comes out and the earnings comes out tax-free if it's for a qualified healthcare expense. But HSAs have much higher contribution limits and any unused balance can be rolled over for future years. So you can think of it as a medical IRA. The other key distinction is you do need to have a qualified high deductible health plan. It's referred to as an HDHP, so look for it on your medical insurance. That had to be effective in 2021 as your medical insurance. So if that applies, ding, 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 this account applies to you. So as a single filer, you can contribute up to $3,600 for 2021 into a health savings account. If you have a family plan, you can do up to $7,200. And also note, just a quick distinction here, that is in total, whether it's you or your employer, that's the most you can put in. So that's a little different than the 401k limits. The other thing to be aware of is if you are over age 55, so not 50 like the IRAs, but over age 55, you can also do an extra $1,000 catch-up into HSAs. Unlike IRAs, another nice thing about HSAs is there are no income limits for deductibility, and you don't have to have taxable wages to use them. So as long as you have that high deductible health plan, HDHP, you can use these. You don't have to be working. You can, if you have really, really high income, you can still make the deductions. So again, two quick examples, how to highlight somebody may use this for the 21 tax year and what kind of dollars we're talking in savings. Let's talk about Mike again. Let's assume he had that high deductible plan back in 2021. But let's assume Mike was confused by the whole HSA, FSA confusion. And so he thought it was a use it or lose it, and he only put in $600 through his payroll deduction. So here he is listening to my podcast and realizes, darn, I could have put in an extra $3,000. Well, the good news is he still can. He should reach out to his HR department and say, hey, where do I mail my check for $3,000 and get that deduction on his tax return? Doing the tax math, this is about $810 of tax savings he can pick up for 2021 tax year by doing this. Becky, on the other hand here, let's assume that she already maxed out her HSA through her payroll, so she's done, but she's helping her parents with their taxes. Let's assume they're both 64 years old, they're retired, they're just withdrawing their IRAs for now for their income, so they're in the 22% marginal tax bracket at the federal level. And let's also assume they both had this HDHP plans, they're trying to save on some premiums while they're healthy before Medicare kicks in. So Becky, knowing the rules, suggests that they both set up an HSA plan. They both contribute $4,600 each because they're each over age 55, and they reduce their 2021 tax bill by $2,284. So those are some pretty serious savings if they meet all these requirements. And if that's the case, I imagine her parents will probably buy you a nice dinner at a restaurant. My third example, or third account type example, is going to be various employer retirement plans. So this mainly only apply to a few people, so I'll keep it somewhat brief here. But if you have your own business, this applies to you. But maybe more common now, if you are an independent contractor, if you're getting paid via 1099 wage income and not W-2s, this applies to you. So listen up. These scenarios can get a bit complicated, so I will refer you to IRS Publication 560 for a nice summary table, or contact us and we can go over it. The other thing to note is that this is only for employer portions of contributions for 2021. So the employee portion, that had to be done by 12/30/21, so you're out of luck there. And then finally, Most of these plans had to be set up during 2021. So we're starting to narrow and narrow the what applies here. But there is one exception. The SEP IRA is one that you can open up to your tax filing. So that does apply here. Two quick examples, just given that doesn't apply to maybe many. Let's assume an independent contractor is married to a wage earner, but they have their own business. And let's say they set up an individual 401k plan. They maxed out their employee contribution of $19,500 for 2021. They did that before 12/31, so all is good. And they're completing their Schedule C return now, which is the self-employed income schedule. And let's assume they've got $60,000 of net income. Again, verify the calculations with your accountant, but going through it, in my opinion, they would be able to do an additional $8,100 of an employer contribution. So again, going through a 22% marginal tax rate, that'd be an additional $2,349 of tax savings if they do this. Another example, just briefly, let's assume that an independent contractor, maybe they're kind of new at this, they never set up a plan, and here they are, maybe they had a good year and they paid themselves a lot of wages out of an S-Corp. Makes the distinctions if it's an S-Corp with wages versus Schedule C with net income. But anyway, if they had a good year, they realize, wow, it'd be nice to be able to do that contribution. They still do have time to set up a SEP. In my example here I just did $175,000 of income, 24% marginal bracket for a single filer. They assume they filed an extension on their corporate tax return. They can still open up a SEP IRA now, contribute up to 25% of wages, which 175, 25% of that, over $43,000 of a contribution, and pick up over $12,600 in tax savings. So a pretty big number. So be aware of these things if you are an independent contractor. Those are the strategies that you can take action on now and apply back to 2021. You may have, be aware of other strategies that you wonder why I haven't mentioned them yet, because you cannot do them anymore for the 2021 tax year. But they are good ones to be aware of. Start doing them now for the 2022 tax year. Those that I just mentioned, the IRAs, HSAs, and employer plans, those are now also eligible for 2022. But just briefly, some other things that you should start thinking about now to impact the 2022 tax year. Details coming up for a future blog post, but here they are. Employee contributions to a 401k. Again, either Roth or traditionals. Roths are not deductible. Traditionals are. The amounts for 2022 are going to be $20,500 if you're under 50, or $27,000 if you're 50 or over. So if you haven't, make sure you update your 401k maximizers if you're doing that through payroll. Roth conversions, again, a lot of details for another topic, but Roth conversions do have to be done in the tax year. So the key point there, look at your current bracket now, marginal tax bracket rate versus what you expect it to be when you withdraw those funds in retirement, and be aware of those and just what I call fill up your bracket. So make sure you fill up your bracket if you're going to be in a higher bracket in retirement. Simple IRAs, which are part of those employer plans that I mentioned above, those do have to be established by October 1st of the tax year. So again, refer you to those details of the different employer plans, but if that makes sense for you, you have to make sure you get that established by October 1st of the year you want it to apply to. If you're comfortable using these high deductible health insurance plans and you kind of like that HSA that I mentioned, well, the first thing you have to do is make sure you sign up for an HDHP. So if it's probably too late for employee enrollment, but apply for that. And then after you have that in effect is when you can start utilizing those HSAs. 529 plans are another great way to get some state deductions, not federal, but state deductions in some states. So that is another area that has to be done by the 12/31 of that tax year. And just as a quick aside, for those that are now paying college bills, you do need to withdraw from a 529 to reimburse those qualified expenses in the same tax year. So be aware of those rules. Capital losses is another thing that you can use to lower income and tax bills. You do need to have that done, realized trade dates in that same tax year. So you don't need to wait till the end of the year. Some people wait until December tax harvesting. Let's do it. Well, no, you can do it anytime throughout the year and just start piling them up. And another quick reminder, if you are in the 12% or lower tax bracket, your long-term, not short, but your long-term capital gains rate is zero. That's right, zero. So if you are in that sweet spot and you have some gains, it's okay to harvest gains as well. Just make sure that your total income keeps you in that 12% bracket. On the charity side, that activity also has to be done by 12/31 of a given year. You've got charitable contributions directly. If you itemize with these higher standard deductions, you may not itemize anymore, but you do need to make those charitable contributions in that same tax year. If you are funding a donor-advised fund, that also has to be done by 12/31, including if you're transferring in stock. That's most ideal is if you have appreciated stock to transfer into there. But again, transfer has to be done by 12/31. Another form of charitable activity is something called a qualified charitable distribution or a QCD. This applies only to those over age 70 and a half. Not 72 like RMDs now, but 70 and a half. They didn't change that age rule. And you have a traditional IRA. And finally, you're charitably inclined. So if that all applies to you, it's a very interesting strategy to employ, but it has to be done by 12/31 of that tax year. So in summary, here we are. So you do have time to take some action, potential action, depending upon eligibility, and you can impact your 2021 tax year and potentially lower your bill. The three types of accounts that you can do this in for 2021 are IRAs. You do have taxable income limits for eligibility, so watch out for that. HSAs, again, you needed an HDHP in effect for 2021, but if you did and you didn't hit those maximums, there's still time. And for those who have their own business or independent contractors, there's some employer plans that you as the employer hat can still make contributions to. There are other accounts and strategies that I mentioned at the end here briefly that you can start doing now for the 2022 tax year. And we are in 22, so start taking action now. If any of this was interesting, but it doesn't apply to you, but maybe for some of your family members or friends, feel free to pass it along and remind them to take action on these strategies if they can. Feel free to reach out to me if you want to clarify any 21 action or, again, kickstart an effective plan for 2022. You want to make sure that next year's tax filing, it can be a relaxing thing, you know, and that you took advantage of the deductions that were legally available to you without any last-minute scrambling at the end. And also knowing that your hard-earned savings are in those optimal accounts so that you can get that future growth and take out those withdrawals in the most optimal way. All right, that's a wrap on today's topic. Thanks a lot. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Financial Translator. I hope this discussion helped clear up any confusion and will lead to more confident financial decisions. Thanks for your time. And be sure to check out all of our resources at pvwealthmgt.com. Until next time, go confidently.